Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Finishing up this morning, the very first segment of this series, we talked about it is a blessing to speak a blessing. And hopefully you have taken that card on the back of the chair and you have looked at some of the blessings and you have been declaring these blessings over your life and over your family, because there's power in speaking a blessing. Because there's so many curses going around. There's so much negativity in this world today. Can I get an amen? There's a lot of negativity. If you don't believe me, just turn on the news for 5 minutes, and you'll see there's a whole lot of negativity. And so, therefore, it's imperative that we begin to speak blessings over our families. Last week, we talked about breaking generational curses, and hopefully that you guys really meant this, that you broke those things which have been passed on to you from generations past. Whether it's generational sins or things that were done to you that has brought about guilt and shame, that has brought about sin. And we broke those things last week. And today, we're going to talk about just declaring God's word over our lives and how there is a blessing in that as well. How many of you guys want the blessed life? Amen. How many of you guys want a life that you're just blessed, you're prosperous? And so the way that we're going to do that, the way that we're going to figure that out is not by worldly standards, not by what the world says to do to obtain blessings or to get rich and famous, but we're going to do it God's way. We want to be blessed according to what the scripture says. And so I'm going to bring back the scripture that my wife used in Proverbs 18:21, where it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." So death and life, you have the power and the ability to speak life into your situation, or you can speak death. Now, if you don't think the words are powerful, just consider how the universe was made. God spoke and planets began to form. God spoke and the earth was formed. God spoke and there was mountains, there was trees, there was rivers, there was birds, there was us, simply from a word. And so if you don't think that your words are powerful, you're very wrong, because the Bible says there's life. You can produce life with your words, or you can produce death. Today we want to be a people who produces life with our words, and that life, that source of life, is found in the word of God. And so one of the first things that we're going to do this morning is that we're going to declare God's word by being anchored in God's word. You cannot declare something that you are not anchored in. You cannot declare something that you have nothing, that you know nothing about. So if I was to start rambling about hockey, I know nothing about hockey at all. I would be a complete fool to be up here and just ramble about hockey. But the Word of God, I'm in the Word of God. I'm in the Word of God every single day, you know. And so I'm studying the Scriptures. The Word of God is on the inside of me. And so if you want to, you know, talk about the Old Testament, you want to talk about Jesus, you want to talk about anything in the Bible, let's talk, right? Because it's the Word of God. It's in me. I'm anchored in the Word of God. And so I'm hoping that you two have made a decision at some point in your life to be anchored in God's Word. There is no other solid truth upon which we can stand. You know, there are so many ideas out there, and there's so many philosophies out there, and there's so many different things that are, you know, contrary to what the Word of God teaches, and all those things are sinking sand. But the Word of God, it's eternal. Amen? It is eternal. It was good back then. It worked back then, and guess what? It works today. When you apply the Word of God to your life, you will see results. When you apply it, when you believe what the Scriptures are saying, and you align your life to the Word of God, you will see a blessed life. We truly believe this. Amen. So I want to start off with a verse in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of waters that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. And so right here, we're given just a really good way of how we can be blessed. How are we blessed? It says, blessed is the man, or blessed is the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, but delights in the law of God. Like, is the law of God your delight? In other words, do you find delight in reading God's word? Do you find delight in not only reading his word, but meditating on his scriptures, thinking about his word, allowing his word to come on the inside of you? Is that your delight? Or is it just something that you check off like in the morning? We had the Bible recap thing, and you can actually check off a box, right? You can say, oh, well, I read that scripture, check. I read that scripture, check. And I read this one, check. Is it something that we're just checking off, or are we? Is it really our delight? I mean, do we love God's word? Excuse me, sorry. And so the way that we are blessed is by delighting in the law of the Lord. He says he is like a tree planted by the rivers. Now, you think about a tree that's planted by the rivers is getting all the nutrients that it needs, so that whenever the storms of life comes against that tree is going to remain solid. It's going to remain unshaken. It's going to remain firm because it's planted by the rivers of living waters. So he who delights in God, he who delights in God's word will be like that tree, will be anchored. And so we want to be a people who delight in God's word. We want to be anchored so that we can declare God's word over our lives. And that's my next point, is that we want to declare God's word to overcome doubt and fear. We want to declare God's word to overcome doubt and fear. Now, we probably have all had moments where we have been doubtful. We have all had moments when we have been fearful. And what do we do in those moments? What do we do in those circumstances? I want to give you a good example of what to do. In Mark chapter 4, verse 36 to 39, it says this. And so this is Jesus, and he's leaving the crowds, and he says, and leaving the crowds, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? So Jesus finds himself in the boat, the same boat that his disciples were in. He's facing the same waves that his disciples are facing. He's feeling the same motion of the boat. He's feeling the wind coming against him, the waves splashing him in the face, just like all the other disciples are experiencing. But we see two quite different responses. We see the disciples freaking out, right? They're rowing harder, and they're panicking, and they're fearful, and they're like, we're about to die. And then they look, and Jesus is, he's taking a nap. He's like, yeah, this is a good time to take a nap. I'm just going to stretch out on the boat right here. Oh, this is perfect, man. Beautiful sky. Oh, yeah. I'm just going, oh, yeah, take a little nap right here. And so completely different response, right? And how the Prince of Peace, in the middle of a storm, is just, he's calm. And he rebukes whenever he wakes up from his nap, you know, maybe wipe the sleep from his eyes. He looks at the waves and the winds, and he just rebukes it. And he says, Peace, be still. Now, whenever we are facing, you know, the hardships of our lives, we have the same options. We can be like the disciples. We can freak out. We can panic. We can try harder. We can row harder. We can try our best efforts. Or we can realize that the Prince of Peace lives on the inside of us, and we can declare the word of God. We can say to that storm, we can say to that wind, we can say to the waves, Peace, be still. Now, we know that Jesus, whatever came from the mouth of Jesus, came from the mouth of God. It is the word of God. In fact, the book of John would say this about Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so we're establishing the fact that Jesus is the Word of God and that he became flesh and dwelt among us. And so whatever Jesus declares is the Word of God. And so he declares peace, be still. He declares the Word of God into his situation and things begin to take place. Things begin to change. If you want your circumstance, your situation, your storm to begin to change, you too need to rise up and declare the Word of God over your life. You should say peace. You can start with that scripture, peace, be still. And maybe you go into Psalms 46, verse 1, where it says, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. So you're going through a difficult time. You're going to rise up and you're going to say, God is my refuge and God is my strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. And you declare God's word over that situation. And it will activate, you know, your faith, for one. It will build your hope. It will stir up your trust in the one true and living God. You know, there have been countless times where I have to remind myself that God is my refuge and that God is my strength. If we try to only rely on our strength to get us through, we're going to fail miserably every single time. You know, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to throw in the towel. We're going to maybe quit. You can say, God, I just can't do it. But when we realize that he is our refuge and that he is our strength, a very present help, like in the very moment that you need him, in the very circumstance that you are facing, in the very turmoil, he is a very present help in time of trouble. He is right there, and he's ready to help. He is my refuge. So we're going to declare that over our lives, that God is our refuge and that God is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Or maybe you declare Isaiah 41:10, where it says, fear not, for I am with you. Maybe you need to hear that today. Fear not, for I am with you. That's God speaking to you. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And he's not just my God, but he is your God. And he is your God and your God. And he says, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And if he is the one holding you in his righteous right hand, then there is no one who can snatch you out of God's hands. There is no circumstance that can break you because you are in the hands of the Master. You are in the hands of the Creator. Amen. Amen. So we're going to declare these verses over our lives, that God is with me, I will not be afraid. Now, we're also going to declare God's word so that our minds can be transformed. You know, we need our minds to be transformed because, you know, there's so much stuff that we see in a day, whether it's through social media, whether it's through the news, or whatever it may be, there's so much of it that we must constantly renew our minds by declaring God's word. And we talked about this often, how the brain works, and we have like a little picture of like some brain stuff happening right here, right? And so basically what it is our brains are made up of 100 billion neurons, and these neurons will communicate to each other through a little electrical signals. That's where you see that little light up thing taking place, right? And so they communicate to each other, and as your brain communicates to each other, is making these neurological pathways, is what it's called. And so, you know, that's how we have habits, you know, and you continue to do something over and over again. In other words, the more these neurons connect to each other each and every time, that you're starting to form like a trench almost. Think about like a, you know, like a John Deere tractor carving out, plowing up the ground and then plowing out that ground again. That trench is being, you know, really engraved in that ground. And so it is with our neurological pathways, is that as we continue to do certain things over and over and over again, that we are forming these pathways, and they make up who we are. They make up our thoughts. They make up how we think about ourselves. But the amazing thing about the brain is that we can form new neurological pathways. We can have new habits of thinking. Like one example for me, is trying to learn Spanish, you know, and I'm trying so hard, and I'm on Duolingo, but the more I do it, the more I just make myself do it and just go through the lessons, it's becoming more like, oh, yeah, I remember that, you know, where at first I'm like, man, what are these words, and why is it so complicated, you know, and this doesn't make any sense to me, but the more I do it, it's becoming easier. I'm making new neurological pathways. I'm changing my mind. I'm transforming the way I think. And if we can do that just at a natural level, imagine if we begin to declare the word of God over our lives and over our minds over and over and over again. We start to believe what the scriptures say about us, and we stop believing what everyone else says about us. We stop believing all the lies of the enemy. The enemy comes to lie. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. And we begin to believe what the word of God says about us. And we transform our minds by the washing and the renewing of our minds by declaring his word over and over and over again. And so Romans 12:2 would say this. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. And so there's hope here that your mind can be transformed. There is hope. You can begin to think differently about yourself, about others, about your situation, about your circumstance. You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so we're going to renew our minds with the washing of the water of the word. We're going to believe what we're going to find scriptures in the Bible, you know, that confront our current way of thinking. Perhaps you have had some negative and bad ways of thinking, unhealthy ways of thinking in the past. You're going to exchange those things for what God says about you. You're going to find scriptures in the Bible that directly impact your life, and you're going to begin to declare that over your life, and you're going to see incredible things happen. Amen? We mentioned like last week with the generational curses, and one of the things I had to break off in my life was, you know, just speaking harshly and just, you know, use my mouth of, you know, not violently, but just being abusive with my words. And so I had to begin to declare something new over my life. Like, hey, I'm not going to be that person anymore. I'm going to declare the word of God over my life. I'm going to declare that, you know, I'm going to be slow to anger, you know, and quick to listen. That's in the Bible. And man, if we can do this, this would save our marriages, right? This would save our relationships. If we can learn to be slow to speak and quick to listen, you know, this would truly help us out in our lives. And so we're going to declare the word of God in every aspect. We're going to declare this. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Maybe for so long you felt like you're the tail. You felt like you're beneath. You felt like you're, you know, you're nothing. That's what you've been told. No, we're going to declare the word of God, which says, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And so maybe this is something you're struggling with, identity. Speak this over your life. Speak it regularly. Look yourself in the mirror and speak it and say, I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Amen? Or maybe you declare 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So you're not only the head and not the tail, but you're also a chosen people. You are God's possession. You are a royal priesthood because God has called you and God has taken you out of darkness and he has put you in the light. You are the head and not the tail. Amen? You are a royal priesthood. Maybe you declare this over yourself in Ephesians 2:10 where it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You're struggling with looking at yourself in the mirror because you don't feel pretty. Declare this over your life. For I am God's workmanship. God made me who I am. Amen. God made you who you are. God made you that way. I am His workmanship, and I am created in Christ Jesus, and I'm created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're going to begin to speak this over our lives and transform our minds in the way that we think. Next, we're going to declare God's word to release God's promises. And there are like tons of promises that you can read through in the Bible that is geared towards God's people. It's not geared towards those who are living unrighteous, but for the righteous, for those who are in God's word, for those who have been saved and brought out of sin, you have been redeemed. There are countless promises for you in the Bible. And we must claim these things. We must declare these things over our lives. So one promise, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God are yes in Christ, and through him we say amen to God." So if God says something, it will come about. Amen. So maybe you've had someone promise something in the past to you, and you know, it didn't come through. Maybe whatever it was, maybe they got busy or whatever it may be. But whenever God promises something to us, we can be sure it will take place. It will happen. His promises are yes and amen. How about Joshua 1:9, where he promises to be with you? And so he says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I mean, whatever you face, whatever giant that you are facing, whatever enemy that's come up against you, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, whatever mountain, he says that the Lord your God is with you. Amen? And so if he is with you, how can you possibly be defeated? How can you lose if the Lord is with you and he is fighting for you? Amen? We see other promises like Philippians 4:19, where he promises to meet all of our needs. It says, "But my God," let me hear you say that this morning, "but my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." My God will meet all my needs according to Christ Jesus. Amen? He will meet all of my needs. Now, we have needs here at Hope Community Church and Hope Extreme. We have financial needs. But we're believing that my God, the God whom I serve, will meet every single need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about how rich God is. He owns it all. I mean, he owns it all. All the gold in the world, it's his. All the silver in the world, it belongs to him. Everything, the earth, it belongs to him. The planets, the sun, every single thing belongs to the Lord. And so if we stand on his promises and declare his word, we're believing and trusting in his provision that he is Jehovah Jireh and he will be my provider. We're going to trust in other promises like Romans 8:28, where it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Whatever we go through in this life, it is awesome to know that God is working that and he is turning that for your good. You might be thinking, "God, I just don't see any good in my current situation right now. I don't know how you can make any good out of this, Lord." But we trust in the promises of God. We trust in the fact that God is a good God. And we trust in the fact that he is a faithful God. And that somehow, some way, that he is turning this around for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We're also going to declare promises like Psalms 37, verse 23 to 24, where it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and when he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hands." So if you're looking for direction this morning, if you're looking for some sort of guidance, the Lord says, "I will be that to you. I will guide you. I will establish your steps. I got you. You're in my hand. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to provide for you. I love you so much." And then finally, we're going to declare God's word to overcome temptation. You know, there's a story where Jesus, he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Anybody ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights? I'm just trying to, no, nobody, okay? Me neither. So we're all in the same boat. But Jesus, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He has gone without food, has gone without water, and that is a very long time. Now, the devil comes up to him and says, why don't you just turn that rock, turn it into a loaf of bread? I mean, he's the Son of God. He could have. He's like, I mean, he was there in the beginning when the beginning had a beginning. Jesus could have easily said, oh, yeah, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'm going to turn that into bread. Let's look at the story. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. I would be hungry, too. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus found himself in a place in which he was tempted by the devil. He did not sin, but he was tempted by the devil. And the way that he overcame this temptation was declaring what was written. What was written in what? In the Torah, in the law of God. He begins to declare to Satan, look what he says, and read it again. This is what is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. So now the devil is using scripture. Watch what the devil does. He's taking scripture. He knows the word of God too. He knows how powerful the word of God is. But he takes it and he twists it and he perverts everything that God tries to do. And so this is what the devil says. He says, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone. And while that may be true, Jesus knew the greater thing that was at risk, that if he was to give in to the temptation that the enemy had put before him, then he would sin. He would become a sinner. And so Jesus is wise. And so look what he does. In verse 7 it says, Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to them, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So the way that he overcame temptation in all three aspects of this, and you can say that he was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in every one of these, he overcame with the word of God. Every single time he used the word of God to combat the enemy, he picked up his sword, the word of God, and he began to fight. The way that you're going to fight, the way that you're going to have victory, is you're going to pick up that sword, the word of God, and you're going to fight against the enemy. Amen. You're going to know what the word of God says, and you're going to use that sword, and you're going to chop off his head. Amen. You're going to use, you know, you're going to quote scriptures like Galatians 5:16, but where it says, if I walk by the Spirit, I will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And you might have to speak this out loud. You might look like a complete fool, but you know what? There is power in the spoken word of God. It's one thing to read God's word and to absorb it, but when you begin to declare God's word, there is a power that is released with that word, because there's something on the inside of you that says, I believe this, and I will stand for this, and I'm going to declare this over my life, that I will walk by the Spirit of God. And I will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Maybe we've talked about earlier where you have an anger problem. And so the way that you're going to combat this is with scripture. You're going to quote Proverbs 15:1, and you're going to take up your sword. You're going to say, a soft answer turns away wrath, but the harsh word stirs up anger. You're going to quote James 1:19-20, where it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so you might have to find scriptures relating to your temptation. I don't know what you're tempted with. The devil knows. He knows what works. Because he tried other things before. And he finds that one thing that he knows will work on you. You have to find the word of God, a scripture, and begin to combat your enemy, combat your devil with the word of God. Amen. You begin to declare the truth of God's word, and he will flee. Just as he did with Jesus, he had to leave. Because there is power. There is power in the word of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The God that is on the inside of you is greater and far more powerful than any temptation that you will ever face. And the Bible says that he will not tempt you, or he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to withstand. We serve a good God. He loves us. We will be tested in this life. We will go through various trials. We will go through various things. But we must learn to fight our battles, not with our mouths against each other, not by tearing down other people, not by throwing a fist and knocking them out. We would like to do that sometimes. That's our flesh. But the way that we're going to win, the way that we're going to win any battle that we face is by using the word of God. Amen. So perhaps you're in this place, too, where you're just believing God. You have needs in your life, whatever that need might be. You're going to declare Matthew 6:33, where it says, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things that I have need of will be added unto me. You're going to have to find scriptures, and you're going to begin to declare the scripture over and over and over again until new neurological pathways have been formed in your life, where you begin, your mind is renewed, your way of thinking is renewed. You begin to see yourself the way that God sees you, not the way that everyone else said that this is what you are, but the way that God sees you. He loves you. You are his child. You are his son. You are his daughter. Amen. And that he will provide for you. He will lead you. He will direct you. And so to recap what we talked about today, we're going to declare God's word by being anchored in God's word. You're not going to be able to combat the enemy if you don't know God's word. If the word of God is not in you, if you're not in that secret place, if you're not in that dwelling place with him, spending time with the Lord, and not just out of obligation, checking off the box, but really delighting yourself in the law of God, delighting yourself in him, that's where we're going to find the strength and the power to overcome. We're going to declare God's word to overcome doubt and fear. Perhaps you're feeling a little doubtful this morning. Perhaps you're feeling a little fearful this morning. You're going to find scriptures, and you're going to apply them to your life. We're going to declare God's word so that our minds will be transformed by the renewing of the washing of the word of God. We're going to declare God's word so that his promises are released in our lives, so that we truly begin to live the blessed life. Amen. And we're going to declare God's word over every temptation, over every devil that comes against us. We're going to rise up in the name of Jesus and declare, thus it is written, thus saith the Lord, get thee behind me, Satan, you cannot prevail. Amen. We're going to close out today, and as we do, we ask that you would just bow your heads and close your eyes, please. And Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you. Lord, your word is powerful. It is effective. Lord, it can divide, Lord, between soul and spirit. Your word, Lord God, is sharp. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, that there would be a desire in your people to know your word, that there would be a desire, Lord, that we would delight ourselves in the law of God, that we would delight ourselves in your word, Lord, so that when we are faced with various trials and various temptations, that we can rise up as the men and the women of God you have called us to be, declare the word of God, and begin to walk in victory. Lord, for every person who has been feeling defeated lately, for every person where it seems like the enemy is just getting the best of them, for every person it seems like every temptation that comes their way, they fall victim yet again. Lord, today we declare freedom in their lives. For every person, God, just dealing with anger and dealing with sin, we thank you that you are making us whole and making us holy. First, Lord, we want to repent from any sin, God, that may be in our lives. We want to ask for your forgiveness. So if that's you today, and you know there's unrepentant sin in your life beckoning you, I'm asking you that you would make things right with God this morning, that you would ask for his forgiveness, that you would ask him to forgive you of your sin, and believe that whenever you do, that he is faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. He is able to make you clean this morning as white as snow, as though you have never did it, as though you never sinned, righteous, justified through Christ Jesus, in the work of the cross and all that he has done for us. So we declare that over your lives this morning. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, once again, just that we have the power and the authority living on the inside of us to declare, to speak life and not death over our lives, over our families, over those around us. We choose today to speak life and declare your word, oh God. So we pray, Lord, as we walk out, as we go through those doors, Lord, it will be constantly reminded the power of the word of God, that we would delight ourselves this week, God, that we would find time, Lord, if we're not doing so already, Lord, that we would spend time with you in the mornings and in the evenings, just meditating on your word, delighting ourselves in your holy scriptures. Lord, I thank you that you would just encourage each person that's here today. Let them know, Lord, that you love them, you're with them, you're fighting for them. And we just thank you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.